141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as the dust begins to settle on a huge weekend across the Scottish leagues. Youssef Chermiti says he's keeping his feet on the ground despite that hat-trick in the big game against Hearts at Ibrox on Sunday. Julian Araujo scored a big goal of his own, says the celebrations were amongst the craziest experiences of his life, and Scotland confirm a North Carolina training camp for the World Cup at the home of Charlotte FC. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you have Killian Sheridan and Gordon Dale.
Yeah, you just wonder how many times you'll use that phrase from now to the end of the season, Gordon. A huge weekend in Scottish football once again. Fantastic weekend, exciting, everything about it. All of a sudden, that gap at the top's really closed right in and Hearts. And then, the exciting bit for the bottom teams, you look at Kilmarnock, St Mirren, Dundee, maybe Aberdeen, Dundee United, all in trouble for that 11th spot. So plenty of football, and obviously a cup tie tonight, Dundee United v Spartans. Looking forward to it.
It was some weekend, Killian. It's only Tuesday, so there's no way that everybody's over it yet. What was your main takeaway at the top?
I think just that it's the thing everyone's talking about, just how good it went. A super Sunday. It's worked out brilliantly with kind of that gap in the English football calendar as well, where like probably there was a lot more eyes on it this Sunday, and I don't think anyone watching it in terms of excitement and drama would have been disappointed. So I think it was a great weekend for the league as a whole, and especially the fact that there's the three teams fighting for it, or Gordon might want to include Motherwell into that as well, four teams potentially, but it's a...
Do you know, I would love to back you up in that, right? I really would. They've been brilliant. I said in the show on Saturday, I was so confident at Fir Park after watching them against Rangers on Wednesday night. They've went there 10 games and they've only lost one goal to Rangers. The record at Fir Park's brilliant. I just think they've got too much to do. And plus, if I, for Motherwell to achieve that, which would be unbelievable, they've got to leapfrog Celtic, Rangers and Hearts. I think that's too big an ask.
01419511025. That's the number. So let's hear from you right now, please. Like we said, it's only Tuesday after Sunday, so there must still be something on your mind. The phone lines were red hot last night. We probably didn't even scratch the surface. So we want to hear what you took away from it. How you're feeling now, maybe. Maybe the emotion of Sunday has gone out a bit. You're looking at things with a clearer mind, assessing who is favourite. Is it your team that's favourite to win this league now? Are you not quite sure yet? Do let us know. Give us all your latest thoughts on the title race. We'll hear from some of the players involved. Celtic fans, for you though, not quite turning full attention to it tonight, but only 2 days away from Europa League action against Stuttgart. So what are your early thoughts there? As well, as Gordon Dale alluded to, there is a Scottish Cup tie tonight. Finally, we think, a game on the Tannadice pitch. Dundee United up against Spartans. Motherwell will head up to Aberdeen for their rescheduled Scottish Cup tie tomorrow as well. So there is a lot to get through on the international front. You'll find that between now and the summer, every now and then there'll be little reminders that we're actually heading to a World Cup. There was all the excitement of the Denmark game, and then it slowly goes on the back burner. But today Scotland starting to announce their plans, and Charlotte FC's training camp is where they're going to be based throughout the duration of the tournament, however long that may last. So if you've got anything at all that you want to share with the guys, please do. Do it now on 01419511025. Match postponed for Brechin at the weekend, was it?
Yeah, another one. Just means another midweek.
Who are you supposed to play?
Brora.
At
Brora.
So oh, now
that's going to get
rearranged. Do you know how many come in that game? When is it?
It's been rearranged for, I think, sometime in April.
Yeah, I'll get that myself.
On a Wednesday night.
Well, listen, you do the show on a Tuesday and a Thursday.
Yeah, so yeah. I'd need to leave Tuesday night right after the show.
Wednesday is tailor-made for you to go to the rearranged fixture.
Listen, I struggle to go for partner. It's a five-minute walk up the road for me.
Last week, did you hear about this guy? Genuinely, right? Because you're new to this show, so you learn all these things. He lives... Yeah, I'd say a 5 minute walk from Fir Park. At the most, it's a 5 minute walk. He went to the game, which was a big enough step for him, yeah, and left before Stephen Welsh equalised.
Do you know? Do you know?
What's your problem?
This is true. I was actually down, teeth brushed, in my bed, watching Stephen Welsh score on
I was going to say, were you home in time to actually see it on telly then?
Did you hear the cheer first? Yeah,
I always do that. And the I always open the window so I can hear a cheer. And I went, oh, Motherwell have scored. So it was a great Wednesday night for me.
Honestly, 01419511025. That is the number that you need. I think everyone's just in title race fever. We could probably do it every night, but we are only a couple of days on from the weekend. So loads of conclusions still to be drawn. They were action-packed games as well, weren't they, when you think about it, with another late show from Celtic, with Rangers having to come from behind on a couple of times. The managers involved always say interesting things after these games. And like we alluded to, Celtic about to go straight back into Europa League action as well. So please do pick up that phone, 01419511025. I've noticed the pundits, they're now all... They feel like they've got free rein to just keep changing their minds every weekend because it is... I don't know, but that's... breaking from the rules that we usually have when you need to stick to your original prediction. Have you got updated thoughts from the weekend? Has it changed anything?
Listen, I've got updated thoughts every weekend now when I see it. When Celtic scored that late winner, I'm thinking, right, okay. They can't keep doing that, of course, but all credit to them. And then you watch Rangers. I thought Rangers, probably second half, were excellent against Hearts. Deserved to win the game, scoring four goals. Chermiti, who is, you know, I've been given a bit of criticism, and especially after Wednesday night, watching them live. But he come up with the goods. Three goals. He seems to do that against Celtic. Two goals as well. Makes himself a hero. But Hearts always seem to bounce back. I look at Hearts. They've got a threat. They've got a good squad. Hopefully, for Hearts, they can get Devlin and Shanklin back quickly. And then it's game on again, Gordon. I think that, look, we give Hugh a bit of stick in this show, but... But I think we all do it. I sit every week and I think, right, OK, if I had my last couple of quid, who am I putting on here? And I change every week. I started off at the beginning of the season, I thought, Celtic will win the league, right?
It's now almost, no offence, I don't mean this at you, because it's now almost irrelevant what people thought at the beginning of the season, because think how much everything has changed.
Yeah.
Martin O'Neill's only been in once, he's been in twice.
Exactly. Rangers have changed their manager as well. So what I'll do is, because I started with Celtic, I'll stick there, but I'm not going to be surprised, because I like the way Rangers are going about their business, and I always believe that Hearts can bounce back, but I'll stick with my original shout.
Killian, do you think we will get a lot of drop points for them all between now and the end of the season? Will it be like this, where almost every weekend or every couple of weeks it will feel like the momentum shifted?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's unlikely that one team is going to go through unscathed and get away from... Because I feel like you still have to throw Motherwell into the mix for, in terms of teams that can potentially take points off either one of the top three teams. I think they can all lose points against each other. So I don't think one team is just going to steamroll between now and the end of the season. I think, like, the fact everyone keeps changing their opinion nearly every weekend by, like, every 45 minutes every weekend is probably the biggest compliment you can pay to the league at the minute. Mm. In terms of the excitement is the drama of it can change so much. There's no outright favourite that everyone's going to be like, well, no, it's 100% theirs.
And see, as a bigger compliment to the wider league, Gordon, just my theory, I actually feel like we're now starting to realise that a lot of other teams could take points and could have a say. Dundee are much better than they were at the start of the season.
Mm-hmm.
Look at Kilmarnock at the weekend, they went very close. They're much better than people thought they were going to be a couple of weeks ago. Dundee United, who were in a bad run, going... have that result at the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
St Mirren are still St Mirren. I know they're not in a brilliant place, but well, it was 2 weeks ago that they beat Hearts. I don't think there's that many gimmies.
No, there's not. There's no gimmies apart from Big Mar, but he's not listening tonight, so we can give it that. Look, I think when it gets to the top six, and I think the top six is cemented, Gordon, I'd be very surprised if Dundee United, Aberdeen could oust Falkirk out of that top six, right? And what we're saying there is, when you get into that top six, there's not an easy game. You know, years and years gone by, I think teams that get in the top six and then it came to the split, they were just quite happy to achieve that top six or a top four. Or, you know, we've been a brilliant season. And you would look at Rangers winning, Celtic winning. Well, Celtic won most of the games. But now, nobody wants to go to Fir Park. Nobody wants to go to Falkirk. Easter Road, Hibs are starting to show a bit of form. Hearts, Rangers and Celtic can all take points off each other. It's so exciting.
Phil is first through on the line tonight. Hi, Phil.
Hello there.
What are you thinking panel. Tonight, Phil?
Thanks for having me on.
Pleasure.
I was reflecting on the game at Rugby Park on Sunday, and I was really pleased to see that the 12th man in the Celtic team had turned up. The supporters were really fantastic, you know, right to the end, encouraging the team. And I hope that the board sat up and took notice of the fact that we really need these guys behind us, and that they can settle all the differences and, you know, fill the stands again at Parkhead.
I was a bit worried there when Phil says the 12th man. I thought he was talking about the referee. No, I'm only kidding, Phil, but you're right. I think that I said it before when Celtic, especially Celtic Park, about boycotts. Right now for me, and I get, and I'm with the Celtic fans, I think that, you know, they've been not treated the way they should with their team and the signings, and I can understand the anger and everything, the backing of the manager, everything that goes with it. But because of the situation right now, I think the players appreciate the backing. Martin O'Neill appreciate the backing. Of course you do as a player. Kellen's played there, he'll understand it. When you've got that atmosphere, you've got that backing and support, it gives you a little bit extra. And you look at the celebrations when they put in the third goal as well. So I'm totally with Phil. I think that the support should stay with them. Yes, at the end of the season, have your opinion. But just now, I think Celtic players need that.
It was interesting, Killian, to hear Derek McInnes, the Hearts manager, obviously say he felt the Ibrox crowd really helped Rangers at the weekend. Now, I'm not saying it's that simple. I know there are various, let's call them differences of opinion between elements of the Celtic fan base and elements of the board. So I'm not saying you can just make all that disappear, but are we at the stage of the season where it is so close that these things might help, you know, having that extra sort of everyone pulling in the one direction?
Yeah, definitely. I think I agree with Derek McInnes. I think that was a massive factor in the Rangers game, in their performance. I feel like the atmosphere there, come when they get 3-2 up and then go on 4-2, I felt the crowd had a big part to play in that. And I kind of think, not that it's a decision that fans who are boycotting the game, the Celtic games, are enjoying boycotting them and not being there. But if you're watching that and knowing like you're giving up that, or you're obviously you've got your reasons to do it, and then you see the celebrations that happened in a last minute, not even last minute, last kick of the game, winning goal, the players in celebrating with fans, part of that has to be like, God, all right, let's put that to the side and just like give as much support and help to the team, because it helps. If you're 2-0 down away to Kilmarnock, you know, first of all, if it stays like that until the end of the game, it's not going to be a nice atmosphere when you're leaving the ground or leaving the pitch or for the next few days, the next week until the next game is. So there's also that added pressure of, if there's a full away stand there or a full home stand, you know the boos and the grumblings are going to come if you're not playing well, if you're not performing, if you don't win the game. And I think that probably fed into it a little bit as well. There's that pressure and that fear of losing at a club like Celtic.
Phil, how confident are you in Celtic's title chances? Martin O'Neill has barely put a foot wrong in the Scottish Premiership. But then you said it as well, you feel like you can't keep scoring late. How confident are you, or otherwise?
In terms of the... I think if we can get the support behind us, when you're at Parkhead and you feel, you know, you get the sack the board chance, you can feel it dragging the whole atmosphere of the place down. I don't know how the players feel, but when I hear them, it drags me down. You know, I think we're... you know, surely we can kick off from this result on Sunday. We did, when Neil Lennon was the manager, he reached a turning point when he was playing a game at Kilmarnock. I think we were either 2 or 3 goals down.
I think 3 that day. I was thinking about it, actually, when I was working down there at the weekend.
You know, that was a turning point for Neil Lennon, and he went on to, I don't know what he won that season, possibly a double or a treble, but it was a turning point for him. He was going to be leaving. If he'd been beaten at Kilmarnock, I think he was off. Or he was, you know, getting sacked. But, you know, that was a turning point. So let's hope this is a turning point for us as well.
We'll find out, Gordon. I mean, there's no doubt moments like that can give you a lift. Then it keeps hitting. Everybody's saying it, you know, it's kind of stating the obvious, there's a feeling that you can't keep doing that. Mm-hmm. But there's no doubt in the last few seasons when Celtic have won a lot, they've still had moments like that. They're just a bit less often.
Yeah, to win leagues, you've got to have moments like that. But even Martin O'Neill's come out and stated, look, we can't keep relying on last minute goals or into extra time or time added on, sorry, to go and win. But give them credit, because they're still a threat, they're still going. They play to when the referee blows the final whistle, and they seem to have this knack of getting it. But you wouldn't like to keep putting the league title on, listen, we need to score in the last minute or whatever to go and get 3 points here, because it won't happen. You've seen Hearts, for instance. Hearts played a right few games with 10 men and they were getting through and by. Eventually it catches up with you. And it caught up with Hearts as well. So as much as it is brilliant for Celtic, because it's from the first whistle to the last, you've got to show character, you've got to show that belief. I've got to be honest, Gordon, I watched the game coming in for Rugby Park, and I thought Kilmarnock excellent first half. Maybe should have scored maybe another goal or two. I thought they were very, very good. But there was always something I'm thinking, if Celtic come out here and get an early goal, I think Celtic will at least walk out with a point or a 3 points. They left it very late, but it's still 3 points, not the road.
Yeah, I mean, Killian, at what point do those moments become a springboard for you? And at what point are you doing it too often? Is there a kind of middle ground you need to hit?
Yeah, I think also you can't help but feel that it has to turn for Celtic as well the other way. Like, you can't help but think there's going to be a game or two coming up where they'll coast it and they might win 3-0 or 4-0, and then it's suddenly, right now they're back playing.
So you think that's more likely than comfortable? Than they lose a game or drop points?
I think, personally, I think their squad should be good enough. Martin O'Neill has the confidence of doing it earlier on in the season. I'm not sure what's changed from when he was previously there to when he's now. It's arguably an improved squad.
Certainly
he has even
wise.
Now.
Speaking of which, let me quickly bring in, thank Phil for his time and bring in Jamie, because he's got a kind of point on the squad actually. Take it away, Jamie.
How you doing, guys? You all right?
Good, yes, Jamie. On you go.
This point is kind of more for Gordon, if that's all right.
Go, Jamie.
How you doing, Gordon? You all right?
Oh, I'm brilliant, Jamie.
I phoned the show, I think it was the 3rd of February, just after the window had closed, right? And you had kind of touched on that you felt Celtic had gambled with their loan signings.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wonder how you kind of feel with that, how that sits with you now. Since then, three of them have went and scored on their debut at Celtic Park, and Arojo's obviously got the winner at Kelly on Sunday. I just kind of wondered if you still feel the Cubs gamble.
Look, I wasn't against. I thought they went about their business the right way with loan signings coming in because of the situation. But I also thought they would try and probably get what you would call a marquee signing and that they would pay money for, because the supporters, the transfer windows, and we all know it, well documented, have been very, very poor. Now, everybody looks at, right, okay, you can't guarantee whether you pay 10 million or you just pay a loan fee, who's going to be the better, who's going to hit the ground running. So I wasn't against, to be honest with you, I wasn't against Celtic doing the loan signing, as long as you get the right players and the right fit.
I did say you thought it was a gamble, though.
Yeah, I think that with the money that Celtic had, I think that Celtic supporters were looking at maybe spending a couple of quid on at least one or two and then filling the rest with loan players.
Do you think do we need to wait a bit longer to know either way, Jamie? Because you're right about the winner, but I mean, Adamu still started the game at the weekend and got hooked at half-time. Benjamin Arthur hasn't played a single minute yet. Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain was a bit different because that was the free agent afterwards. So do we need to find out a bit more? Arojo and Chivancha were already in, and I think people felt that they were going to be decent.
Well, to be fair, it is probably a question you would probably ask at the end of the season, but I just felt as a few of them have obviously scored on their debut at Celtic Park and obviously the winner on Sunday. You know, I think they've got off to a good start, yeah. To be fair.
No, I get that, but I mean, Arojo's body of work's already there, Killings. He was the first in. He's been in for, it feels like he's been in for ages. Adamu, as I said to Jamie, he got that winner, but we don't know what else comes. It might amount to nothing else. He might go on. It was a difficult, probably the first 45 minutes for him at the weekend.
Yeah, I think Araujo has impressed. Takeaway, I mean, you're not signing him to score goals. No. He's not been signed to score match winners. I think he's looked steady. He's looked good. Settled in well. I'd probably prefer Kvanchera playing up front from what I've seen of the others so far. At least he's in the few games where he's tried to do stuff. He sets up the winner there from actually taking the ball in and trying a turn, beats a man, puts a cross in. Similar to the, I think, the Hearts game. Did he do something similar?
And the
Those two already have been a success. I feel, or maybe not the a shining light success, but they've definitely hit the grounds better than the others. Adamu didn't really impress me the other day. Looked devoid of any confidence.
Thought it was hard for him. He was just asked to fight Robbie Dees for the first 45 minutes.
A hard place to go as well, Gordon.
I feel he just tried to do everything first touch.
Yeah, but you were talking about confidence. I sort of looked the other way because I'm thinking, when he scored the winner with that flick, you must be fully confident with that.
Thank you, Jamie. 0141 951 1025. It's a good time to call and we'll get you on next.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon Dalziel and Killian Sheridan are here. It's 0141 951 1025. We'd love to have you on board, so please do. Let's hear from Yusuf Chirmiti. Says he's keeping his feet in the ground after his hat-trick against Hearts, and of course one that helped close the gap on the league leaders to just 2 points.
Everyone needs to be humble. Everyone needs to stay humble. Every game is important for us. Of course these games we can be more focused, or we're looking for them more serious, but every game is important for us. I think that's part of football and the life. You have up and downs. Today I score a hat-trick, tomorrow I can miss a goal, and that's the football. Yeah, we're on the race. I think everyone likes a league like this, tight. This is where you see the good players, the pressure's on. But yeah, we are looking for a title. That's 100%.
Gav is a Rangers fan. Where are you on Yusuf Chirmiti now, Gav, after that performance at the weekend?
Oh, some performance for the guy, wasn't it? I'm just interested in seeing what Gordon's take is on it now. Last week him and Hugh both saying that obviously he was going to be the third choice striker. Is that still the case?
Gav, I was...
You've had a bad weekend
I'm going to put my hand up, of course. You've got to call it. I watched him on Wednesday and he didn't impress me at all. Look, I'm not the only one sitting here saying that. Well, £8 million price tag, he's given nothing. He'd scored 4 goals as a Rangers centre forward. So I think a lot of Rangers supporters called it as well. But you've got to give the boy credit. I thought he was brilliant at the weekend. He worked hard for the team. His chances came. He gets a hat trick. He matched ball. That's two big games, Celtic away and Hearts at home at the weekend, where you really need to step up. I've said all the time now, Gordon, see if a centre-forward starts banging goals in for one of these teams, I think that could be the big difference. Look, sometimes I look back and think, I'm a bit too critical on him. He's only 21, right? I think everybody looks at the price tag with him. I'm quite happy to put my hands up and say, well done to him. He was absolutely brilliant. But I'm not going to sit here and say he's a finished article. He's still a bit to go for me.
Gav?
Is he still your third choice striker, though?
He's sort of moved up to the second berth for me now. I'm a wee bit like the league table. I change my mind every week. Look, I'll tell you what, if he scores 3 goals against Hearts, then he's certainly going to be playing next week. So
also, I don't
he's a first choice striker next week, Gav, let's be honest about it.
I don't like to give Gordon a get out, Killian. That's the last thing I want. But the goalposts have moved a bit because two of them played at the weekend, so it's, they're not having to pick one anymore.
Yeah. Maybe it settles into Danny Rowe that he wants to play it with two up front. He's got his guy in, and then kind of suddenly Chirmiti has started scoring goals. I wouldn't say his performances have matched up with warranting the goals that he's getting. But like Gordon's saying, fair play to him for in the big games he's shown up. Took his goals well yesterday or on Sunday. And probably the biggest thing he'll have now is confidence. He was probably going through a stage there where every ball that's getting played up to him, he'd be doubting himself, and you could even see it in the way he was playing. But once a striker gets a bit of confidence, you just become a different player.
How important is it he now builds on this, Gav, like quickly and soon, if you like, because the Celtic goals were brilliant and they were important, but I don't know, off the top of my head, that was maybe 8, 9, 10 games ago, and you had to wait for the next one to come around. See if he can go and score again at the weekend, or there's that double header coming up against Celtic. Is that going to be the key to sort of predicting whether he can properly kick on?
Wait, taking away from it, Gordon, we all know what like he was when he first came, right? Now, he was nowhere near up to scratch, and I was one of them that said, there's no way this guy's a Rangers number 9, no way. But under Danny Rose came in, and he's improved that squad massively. Obviously, he's added to it in January. Now, he's not just added it numbers, it's quality that he's added to it, but he looks at it. I mean, Romans looks a breath of fresh air doing that left. Scott Olsen, he's got one goal, but his performances could be a bit better. But again, is that just because he's not had much experience? Is it he's not had much game time? I mean, will that come? Obviously, it needs to come soon if we're going to buy him. But no, to me, I mean, the price tag, like, it's not his problem that he's an 8 million price tag or 10 million, whatever it was. Like, he's got to just to come and do his best, and he's certainly improved. And for me, like, I would have him over Miowski. I just think Miowski's just a shadow of the player he was when he was at Aberdeen.
Yeah, I sort of agree with that. I don't think Miowski suits Rangers' style. I like the way that the manager went about his business. See that two up top, bit of physicality up there, really going at Hearts. I thought second half they worked very well. Look, the problem with Rangers just now is we could be sitting here next Tuesday and giving them a bit of criticism because they're a little bit inconsistent for me. I watched them against Motherwell and they scored, and I thought to myself, right, they're off and running here. Motherwell dominated the game and quite rightly get a point out of the game with 11-10. But then Rangers turn up in a massive game against Hearts. They lose the first goal, and then they show a bit of character. And I thought second half they were excellent. And I think a lot of that was down to the manager. I liked the way he went about his business. I would like to see the centre forwards at Rangers. That's 7 goals he's got now, right? Can he kick on?
6 against Hearts or Celtic.
What's that?
6 out of the 7 are against Hearts or Celtic. It's quite something.
Oh, so it is. Yeah.
I know one was consolation at Tynecastle.
But. Right, so he scored 2. Yeah, exactly. So he's shown that there's a big game there, which is brilliant for Rangers. If a big game there, he can score the goals because that's where you get judged. Everybody knew Morelos, for instance, went through that stigma of, he's not centre-forward until you score against Celtic. This guy's already done it, scored 2 goals, big game there at the weekend, scores 3 goals. He's got to kick on for me. I'd love to, look, I keep going back to he's 21 and I totally agree with Gav. It's not his fault, £8-10 million, but if you're a Rangers number 9 and you're starting week in, week out, you've got to score goals.
Something I think we lacked a bit last night was the Hearts perspective on all of this. Thank you to Gav for getting in touch. But what about Scott from Edinburgh? Scott, what's happening then? Where are you sitting now with that gap being cut to 2 points? How are you feeling?
Yeah, not too bad. Thanks for having me. This is my first time calling in, so just in the car on the way back to the gym with you, man. So thanks for having me.
Pleasure.
I think I'm one of the Hearts fans that we never actually thought, probably from the beginning, that we'd ever win the league. And I think even when we're at the top, maybe 9 points ahead, we're still never really thought we'd win the league. I think we're just really enjoying it and the whole Tony Bloom thing so far. So even at the start of the season, he sort of said that if we can at least compete with the 2 big teams in Glasgow, that's sort of where they want to start. So I think we've probably already done that already. I think even the Rangers game the weekend, yeah, we got beat 4-2, but that was probably a little bit flattering. I think we still probably played quite well. I think it's just one of the games again. We've only lost 4 games all season. We've only lost 1 against the Old Firm. It's not actually that bad. I think it's just as soon as you go on X or whatever else, as soon as we lose a game, it's the bubble's burst. But I think over the course of the season, we're still probably playing much better than any Hearts fan would ever imagine. So yeah,
What if you were to finish third though, right? Because I know what you're saying and didn't expect to be there and just enjoying it, but Scott, you've been top for 20 weeks. You're kind of nearly there. It's the 17th of February. Surely your expectations change a bit and the feeling changes so that you start to feel like you belong. You're not allowing yourself to get your hopes up a bit.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, definitely. I'm trying to take one game at a time and sort of not post too many things that'll come back and bite me. But I think, yeah, obviously the signings that have came in and they've all sort of hit the ground running, well, majority of them. But obviously because it's been so many weeks, the sort of closer you get to the split, you're thinking maybe we could do this. But yeah, it's still. I think it's going to go down to the wire. I think we've got a half decent run in. But again, I think, like you said previously on the show, even nowadays, every game's sort of difficult in its own way, in its own right. I don't think any game's that easy. Even Kilmarnock away, we've got them in a few weeks. That's not going to be easy. Livingston sort of fighting for lives away, it's not going to be a sort of 3-4-0 easy victory. So, but then again, that's the same for every other team. But yeah, I think because we've been there so long, you start to believe a little bit more, but I'm still not quite sure. And yeah, if we finish third or fourth, yeah, it's going to feel like, what was the sort of point? But because we're only two or three losses away, and then Motherwell, so if they were to jump ahead of us and we ended up finishing fourth, it'd be, in my eyes, maybe not a disaster, but yeah, it would feel like, what was the point in that? And this is probably the worst Rangers Celtic team that's been kicking about for a while. So yeah, I think I'd probably take second now, it'd probably bite your hand off, but and I think the Chalmers thing, he scores three against Hearts. I still wouldn't say he's sort of like he's as good as maybe some of the fans are making out. It was probably down to really, really poor decisions for Hearts and defending that he's probably scored the hat trick. Cabori scored a couple for us a few weeks ago in Dundee United, but I still don't think he's that great. So yeah, I wouldn't sort of start getting on the bandwagon and thinking that Chalmers is the next sort of, I don't know, best player in Scotland sort of thing. But, I think, what's your sort of views? What do you think the table will be like, the sort of top four?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, Scott, it'd be unthinkable for me for Hearts to finish fourth, right? For the season they've had, the squad and everything. Look, you're right, up until the split, if you look at their games, I think they're probably get the best run up until the split. It's how they bounce back. If you'd said to Hearts, Derek McInnes, or anybody involved with Hearts, by the way, after the 15th of February, you'll still be top of the league with 2 points. I know Celtic have got a game in hand, can draw a level. They play Aberdeen, which obviously they will draw a level then. But you would have snapped their hand off for that, right? And plus the fact, I know what you're saying, every game now is a pressure game because Kilmarnock can improve and St Mirren are down there fighting. They've got Livingston, they've got Motherwell and teams like that. But they've got a good run into the split. They could be in a really good position by the time the split comes around for me.
Killian, what do you think? You know, the expectations at the start of the season almost do become irrelevant, don't they? I mean, we speak about Motherwell as an example. If you said Motherwell at the start of the season, they would have taken sixth. They wouldn't take it now. So, you know, every team has to... Falkirk would be another one. Falkirk would have taken 10th maybe at the start of the season. They wouldn't take it now. So Hearts must just be a sort of exaggerated version of that.
Yeah, I think you have to take your expectations based on where you are now. You can't go back. You can't be sitting top of the table with, like, two-thirds of the season played and think at the start of the season would have been happy to be here, or at the start of the season would have been happy to finish second or third. And once you're in that position to go and realistically win a title, you have to embrace it and think, yeah, we can do this. I don't think Hearts will get a better time. I don't think there'll be a better chance for them to win the league than this season. I think if you look at Celtic and Rangers, both of them probably give up nearly 2 months of the season each, if you factor in Russell Martin's spell and Wilfred Nancy's. I just think if Hearts are going to do it, this is the season that is going to be their best chance.
But what about this notion that the Tony Bloom, the project, the Jamestown, in theory, it should get stronger as it goes along? You still think that'll be cancelled out by improvements in Celtic and Rangers?
I just think the chances of both Celtic and Rangers having such poor seasons
at the same time
is something that rarely happens.
Well, Scott's got enough on his plate worrying about this season before making him worry about future seasons. So thank you very much to Scott on the line in Edinburgh. Let me tell you about this before we move on.
Clyde One.
Do you remember Craig winning £450,000 last week? It was an incredible moment. Said he was going to put it towards his wedding. I'm sure he said, we can't wait to see the bill for that. Gordon DL's done it a good few times, so he can speak to the issues Craig's having there. You could win £475,000 though. We're upping it. Text YES to 61025. 250 to text, plus your standard network rate. You can enter at makemeawinner.co.uk, where you will also find all the rules for this network competition. It is over 18s only though. Make sure, if you fancy it as well, you call 03434 269340, if that's your preferred option. The calls are charged at a standard rate there, but don't miss out. Lines close 5pm Friday. £475,000. Text YES to 61025.
141-951-1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL and Killian Sheridan are here. We're ticking along nicely tonight, still looking at all angles of the title race, speaking about some of the individuals involved. We've had the fans' impact. We're covering all the ground here, but if you think there's something we're missing, the answer to that is to give us a call. 141-951-1025. Next up, we've got Johnny on the line. Usually it's quite straightforward. It just says like Gordon in Motherwell. This says Johnny in Turkey via via Lagos via Partick. You're going to need to explain that to me.
No, but I don't need to explain it. It's just
Johnny.
I'm a Motherwell fan.
Right. And where are you? Sorry.
I'm footing from Turkey just now.
Is your teeth okay?
I'm not here for that.
So, but where have you been before?
Got a new wig and everything.
Are you travelling or something? The why is it? Why? What's the story?
Well, we had to escape from Lagos. We were arrested there.
What? Is she kidding on there?
But I want to talk.
Are you allowed to tell us what for, or is it best to we just skip over it?
Well, it was nothing to do with us. That's all I can say. It was just we're working a boat that was wanted by some authorities.
What's
going on here?
Johnny in Turkey. Pirates.
So Johnny's from Partick, was in Lagos, got arrested.
Yeah.
And then you sailed to Turkey from there.
We actually get flown out there. But anyway, can we change the subject?
Can we change? Get on.
Can you ask the officer next to you? What's his point?
Johnny's definitely the most interesting guy we've had.
I know, Johnny's right under the radar.
Anyway.
Right, so I'm quite happy to be on like tonight, especially with three Motherwell legends there.
Well, in the loosest sense of the word. It can only go one of two ways, Johnny. You're either on to tell us that Motherwell are in this title race and people need to mention it, or you're ruling them out. What are you saying?
I can remember, I was on a few months ago, and you said, will I concede the title if Motherwell don't beat, I think it was Dundee United or something like that. I actually nearly conceded the other night when we only managed to get a draw with Rangers. Right, but now after me thinking of all things, do you know that not one team has been a better team than us? Every single game that I've watched, not one team has played us off the park. We've only been lucky against one team, and that was against Aberdeen, actually, on Saturday. So now I'm thinking we are back on track to win the league again.
Johnny, I would love Motherwell to win the league. You have no idea, but I said it earlier. Look, they've been absolutely brilliant. Style of football, crowds are flooding back. I just think to overturn, Hearts, Rangers and Celtic is a massive ask. It really is. I look at some of the fixtures that Motherwell's got before the split. To go to Tynecastle, to go to Celtic Park as well. Don't get me wrong, they'll go there with confidence because they're a really good footballing team and they're playing absolute brilliant football, scoring goals. Clean sheets at Fir Park. Yeah, I totally understand where he's coming from, but right now you're sitting 10 points behind Hearts. I know you've got a game in hand. We've got a game in hand. And it'll be really interesting to see where Motherwell will finish. I think they'll play a big part in who wins the league because nobody, after the split, will want to go to Fir Park.
would you assess their chances?
I kind of half said it jokingly at the start. I don't think they'll go and win it, but if their start had of all their good performances at the start of the season, the games that they weren't winning but getting lauded for playing such good football, if a few of those had been turned into wins, obviously now, like say 2 or 3 wins or 6 or 9 points better, then they're realistically in the conversation. But it's funny, like, you've just shows you how people are different. The Hearts fan phoned up afraid to get ahead of himself, sitting top of the table, and then a Motherwell fan 10 points behind them are claiming it.
Where I think Johnny's on to something, though, just because, look, the league table doesn't lie. Everybody's always said that. So
I thought you were going to say 3 Motherwell legends.
That's not true either. Can't suddenly be a hypocrite on that. But I think what is specifically interesting about Motherwell, because you're talking about the ifs, you know, if they had done this at the start of the season. Every team has got their ifs, but it does feel a bit different. They've played 26 games. I don't think there's any of those games that they didn't deserve to win. Does that make sense? Like, the difference with Motherwell's ifs at the start of the season is the performance levels were actually always good. Rangers under Russell Martin had some really bad performances. Celtic under Wilfried Nancy had some very bad performances. Feels like Motherwell's performances have actually... they've not been totally outplayed at any point after 26 games.
No, because they're that good a team. And I said earlier in the show, ten games at Fir Park and they've lost one goal, and that was to Rangers early on. Their football's excellent. There's no doubt about that. The manager's excellent. Everything about it's a joy to go along and watch them. But I keep going back to...
how much a joy if you left early.
But I had to get away before the traffic. But if you look there at where they are, it's not like it's maybe one team they have to catch. They've got to leapfrog 3. I think that's too big. I'd love it, but I think it's too big an ask.
Pirate Johnny, on you go.
Oh, look, if we win every game, I think we'll be right up there. Do you know what I mean?
I know, but that's a big if, isn't it?
But here's the thing, like, we are the only ones that have been consistent all the way from the start of the season. We've not had dips in form and stuff like that.
Yeah, performance level wise, but you also can't
consistently get better.
But Hearts obviously have been consistent to a point because they've got that advantage over Motherwell at the top of the table.
They've been lucky.
Okay,
but you say consistent, Johnny. You say consistent from the start of the season. I sort of agree with that, but
performance level wise,
still
they have.
Yeah, but you're still sitting fourth. We're still sitting fourth, so. I'm with you. I think it'd be brilliant, absolutely brilliant, but I don't see it happening.
Thank you to Johnny, who, I mean, where'd you start with that? He's from Partick, he's a Motherwell fan, he got detained in Nigeria. He's now
by the way, if you think the Scottish League is exciting, check out the Nigerian League.
Why?
I think I came across it the other day. I think there's about maybe 10 or 12 points difference from bottom to top. Halfway through the season.
He's a student. You ever thought about checking the Nigerian league table?
No, but I'll certainly go home tonight and go through that.
Honestly.
Yeah, Nigerian.
Right, Johnny, stay safe out there. That was Johnny on the line.
Stay safe.
What kind of story was that?
I don't know. I think Johnny was kidding on, wasn't he? Nah. He's probably in Airbus Road.
Is that not too bizarre to make up?
He's doing the Swathi in a dinghy.
No.
You're kidding not... on, he's in Turkey on a boat.
I there's got to be something in it.
A VPN.
Anyway, thank you again to Johnny. Let's play.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Come on then, Beat the Pundit time. 0141 951 1025 is the number. There was shock and alarm on the producer's face earlier when he was realising how many signed balls we'd given away recently. The pundits are weak at the moment, vulnerable. And if you want to take advantage, you have to call before 7.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Killian Sheridan is here alongside Gordon DL. There's still about an hour for you to get in touch. So 0141 951 1025. We're looking at the title race, of course. I think we could just say that every night, but we're still reflecting on the weekend, particularly Sunday, and the implications at the top. So keep your thoughts coming there. There is a Scottish Cup tie tonight as we move towards trying to complete the lineup for the next round. So Dundee United against Spartans this evening, finally a game on the Tannadice pitch, and the winner will take on Falkirk in the next round. Motherwell up at Aberdeen tomorrow, with the winner of that one heading to Dunfermline in the next round. So let's play this first while you get your calls in.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, it is Beat the Pundit time. Two wins from two for you, Killian Sheridan.
He's flying, isn't he?
You even won in my absence last week.
Yeah, you're flying, mate.
Jinx, he's composed. I mean, you need knowledge, but I like his composure.
Yeah.
Like, usually people, when they play this for the first time, they get a bit flustered. I don't think you could fluster this guy.
No, sometimes he looks a little bit. Last week, I thought he looked flustered, so. But he really came to the top.
Don't know
throw
a ball at me.
Yeah, well, that's a different thing.
I mean, I don't know him that well yet, but I feel like he might be the most laid back guy on the planet, no?
Yeah, he certainly looks like that, but. No. We'll see if it gets picked tonight.
Right, okay. Well, Finlay is on the line. But there's a real international theme to the show.
Finlay,
people
now
calling from everywhere. Where are you, Finlay?
I'm in Extremadura, so it's in western Spain. So if you go about 2.5 hours west of Madrid and then down a wee bit, you're pretty much there. But the weather's the same as Scotland. It's just rained here for pretty much 2 months. So
seriously?
There you go. How long are you over there for, Finlay?
So you live there?
No, I don't. Even worse, I live in Luxembourg. I'm just down here for a week because with all the rain, I wanted to check that, you know, the garden wasn't a swimming pool and all that sort of stuff. But, I'm originally from Glasgow, from Paul Shields.
Paul, what's going on tonight? Why is there such a Mr. Worldwide theme going on?
No idea. Are you alone, Finlay?
Yeah, I'm alone. So it's my wife's Spanish, but she's not here at the moment. She'd be utterly useless, even more useless than me on this. Mind you, actually, you never know. She's pretty smart on the Beat the Pundit. So you're just internationally famous. That's why you've got people from all over the place.
Luxembourg must be the only place you've no played, Killian, as well.
I've never been in Luxembourg. So, you've played? You've ever
not
been?
Not yet,
there?
No.
I actually have been.
Have you?
Yeah,
is it nice?
Do you remember Motherwell played Nancy
that's
in
right.
France? We flew to Frankfurt and stopped in Luxembourg. Then, it was lovely for the day. Bye. Anyway, it's turned into a travel show all of a sudden. Many other countries would have been Poland, Cyprus, Bulgaria. That's it.
I think I've 6 countries. Yeah.
But the heck gets about this guy, right? The red side of the coin will be Killian. The blue side will be Gordon DL, who doesn't like to venture past the Strathclyde Park very often, so he's in bad company tonight. And it is. Yeah, it's just Gordon DL, red.
All the best, Finlay.
Excellent, thank you.
You answer in Spanish and I'll answer in Spanish, see who wins.
No, I'm going to give Finlay. You'll be all right with this, so I'm going to give Finlay just a wee bit longer.
No,
there's a delay on the line.
I knew you were coming
you
with
can
the
hear
delay.
Oh,
right, okay, give Finlay another
5 seconds.
Right, okay, go for it. I'm not kidding.
Right, give Gordon DL something else to listen to, Finlay. You and I, 30 seconds on the clock, and your time starts now. Before Kilmarnock, who was the last league side to score twice against Celtic?
Rangers.
Who left Rangers for Aris Limassol permanently in July 2024?
Pass.
Name the only Scottish Premiership team unbeaten in all competitions in 2026.
Motherwell.
Which English side have reappointed Gary Caldwell as manager?
Pass.
Who's played more Old Firm games, Callum McGregor or Alan McGregor?
Alan McGregor.
And what year did Inverness win their only Scottish Cup quickly?
2008.
Right, okay. Gordon DL, can you hear us?
Yeah.
I gave him ages longer.
I know, because
well.
I was watching the clock.
Oh, you'd have been furious.
That was
you'd
about
heard
45
that.
Seconds.
Yeah, he answered 12 questions. I've only got 10.
I know.
I had to give him extras.
Okay, that's fine.
Same set of questions to you. Your 30 seconds starts now. Before Kilmarnock, named the last league side to score twice against Celtic.
Rangers.
Who left Rangers for Aris Limassol permanently in July 2024?
Oh, pass.
Name the only Scottish Premiership side unbeaten in all competitions in 2026.
Motherwell.
Which English side have reappointed Gary Caldwell as manager?
Exeter.
Who's played more Old Firm games, Callum McGregor or Alan McGregor?
Callum McGregor.
In what year did Inverness Cali Thistle win their only Scottish Cup?
2016.
Finlay, what do you think?
That was hard.
Oh, I don't know. It's difficult. I hate to say it. I think he might have done me. It's a well used phrase, but
I'm not so sure. He didn't sound very good to me. But let's
go through. I didn't actually.
And figure out. You both fell into the same trap for question one. You both said Rangers. It was Hearts. Hearts was more recently, wasn't it? 25th of January.
Oh, sure it was.
Two each. So it was.
Ah,
yeah, I'm afraid.
Poor.
Who left Rangers for Aris Limassol permanently in July 2024?
Ryken.
No.
McCausland.
No. And the July one was. They were the following year. Connor Goldson was the 2024 one.
Oh, 24.
I'm glad I didn't get that.
Connor Goldson.
No idea. Never have.
How was Cyprus as a footballing venue?
Brilliant. Loved it.
Really?
Loved it, yeah.
Like your favourite?
Yeah.
Cyprus is nice, isn't
it? Yeah, because football went well as well. That's the life.
Just going to marry it up both.
Yeah.
You play for a couple of teams in Cyprus?
Two, Apoel and Ammonia.
Mm-hmm. This could be a 0-0 tiebreak.
No, because you both said Motherwell, who are the only Premiership team unbeaten in all competitions in 2026. And you were both correct. Celtic have lost against Rangers, but and we said all competitions. Rangers have lost against Porto. Hearts have lost against Rangers and St Mirren. So, yep, Motherwell it is. 1-1 after three questions. Which English side have reappointed Gary Caldwell as manager? I'd love to hear your thinking here.
He managed Exeter, didn't he?
Well, yeah, so he's now left Exeter. So
well, could have reappointed him.
What, within like the same day?
Yeah. Go in, Gary, we've made a mistake. Come back.
I thought one of you would get this. Killian?
Wigan.
Wigan? Back to Wigan yesterday.
I didn't know that. All the best to him, I like Gary. All the best.
So you used to manage Wigan, hence the wording of the question. Played there, obviously. Kind of captained them, bit of a
I wouldn't have got that.
So he's gone back to
Wigan.
Well
done, him.
None of you got that right.
Well, the papers are a bit late coming here, you see.
That's true.
Wait for the papers to arrive and you can answer.
He's got his excuse from 1994 all looked out when that was still a thing. Finlay, Callum McGregor or Alan McGregor? You said Callum or Alan?
I think so, yep.
What did you say?
Yeah, Callum, yep. Yeah.
I thought he did, okay. But I was just double checking. I haven't said the answer yet. It
doesn't matter because I said Callum as well.
You did. Callum McGregor's played 46. Alan McGregor's played 45. It's Callum McGregor by one, which means
2-2.
No. You both got another question in.
Oh no, what was it?
In what year did Inverness Cali Thistle
win
their only Scottish Cup? You said 2016.
If Finlay gets this, I'd be delighted for him.
Finlay did not get it. It was 2015. It's not like you to be so close.
You're
usually generations out
right,
with these
here
things.
We go. Finlay, matter what it is, I always go 100, right?
Don't fall for his mind games.
No matter
Finlay.
What the question is, I always go 100, mate.
Okay. Excluding all, in fact, hold on, just quick housekeeping first, Finlay. I will get Gordon to write his answer down before I ask for your attempt, okay? I don't want you copying each other. So, excluding recalled loans, because why would that count? How many players were signed in the January window in the Scottish Premiership? So, it doesn't include people who were recalled from a loan, but how many players were signed in the January window in the Scottish Premiership? Write it down, please. Okay, what are you going for, Finlay?
25.
Okay, Finlay's gone 25. Gordon Dale's gone
48.
One of you is only 4 out, which is a sensational effort. The answer is 52.
Yes, a victory, unlucky Finlay boy.
I'm devastated.
I told you I always go 100, but I halved it and took 2 off it.
Finlay,
unlucky. I would have liked Finlay to win.
I was worried about your postal cost, but Gordon, what do you want? Do you want me to send you a coin or do you want me to send you a ball?
Yeah, what sort of piece of memorabilia from Luxembourg could you send Gordon Dale in return? What are they famous for?
I what is Lux- songs?
Tax avoidance and I guess vineyards. Yeah, you can decent wine for a not bad price in Luxembourg.
Oh, there you go. Well, a wee bottle of red would do, Finn.
Now we know what. Now we know why Finlay lives in Luxembourg, because it's nothing to do with the wine. But anyway, thanks very much. In fact, what team do you support, Finlay, did you say?
I'm Rangers fan.
Right, and from your relative distance, do you think they'll win the league?
Well, you know, it's got to be realistic. It's a three-way race. Anything could happen. Somebody could have a good day, somebody could have a bad day. It could end anyway. But to be honest, I mean, I say this between these four walls, I'm blowing anybody else who's listening. I'm really enjoying the race this year. I think it's for all teams. I think everyone's probably really enjoying it. It makes it a lot more engaging when it's like this. And I do think it's a four-horse race. You never know that. I mean, fair play to Motherwell. They've played really, really well this year. It's good to watch them. I mean, even though it's hard to say that as a Rangers fan, they've been cracking. So, but as a Scottish guy, I think it's a great advert for our football. You know, at last, non-Brits can watch it and actually be excited by what they're seeing, because it's not a one-horse race or a two-horse race anymore. You know, it makes it a lot more exciting, a lot more like European football. And it can only be a good thing for Scotland, to be honest, in the year that we're going to America.
There can't be many people in Luxembourg paying attention yet, though. Do we need all four teams to win with a chance of winning it in the final day? Would that move the dial?
Probably not.
Didn't think so. Anyway, thank you very much to Finlay in Spain, from here, lives in Luxembourg. It's just been one of those nights. 01419511025. I thought you had an interest in life until started meeting some of these guys.
I know, it's incredible. So I'm actually boring.
Very boring.
I know. I need to get out and about and start exploring these countries.
Yeah, I think you probably explore enough here, though, that it's probably best that you just stay here. I don't really trust you when you travel abroad. Having seen you in Germany up close for 12 days, I did not enjoy it one bit. Right, give us a call. Let us know what you are thinking this evening. We're looking back on the weekend mostly, but I suppose you could cast an early look ahead to Thursday night, Celtic fans, because all the talk about the title race, it needs to go on the back burner for you just now, I'm afraid, because there's European football. So you can do your early thoughts there. Against Stuttgart, the visit of Stuttgart, home leg first. And if there's anything else out there that you think we're missing, please do get in touch. We did mention there is that Scottish Cup tie this evening. I don't know if there are many Spartans fans out there. Are you giving us any chance of a shock? No.
No.
Not too big a gap.
To be fair, Spartans, yeah.
Top of League 2?
Yeah, they'll go up there. If it was at Spartans, you're thinking, yeah, it couldn't possibly. But no, I can't see by Dundee United, especially after getting a good result against Falkirk at weekend. So, yeah, I think Jim will take care of business there.
Okay, Simon's a Kilmarnock fan on the line. How are you, Simon?
I'm good, guys. How are you doing?
Not bad, not
bad. To Gordon's and Killian, nice to speak.
What are you thinking tonight?
Yeah, I was just actually thinking there about back in the glory days when we had Kenny Shields as our manager and Killian was scoring hat-tricks at Tynecastle. It was nice to reminisce about a better time to be a Killy fan. But it was an interesting Sunday, I'll put it that way. I think your first caller, Phil, was saying that his point was that the Celtic fans were fantastic. I don't know if he meant, you know, in between them smashing up seats and invading the pitch and kicking off in the streets and causing all sorts of chaos. I think that is a sign that we need to cut the Celtic allocation further. I think that, you know, we cut the allocation in the first place because, you know, supporters weren't happy with the behaviour and the intimidation from the Old Firm fans. And it's just getting worse. They're just misbehaving too much now. So I think we need to cut that allocation until they can come to Rugby Park and behave themselves. But in terms of the actual game, I think I was really proud of the performance. I think Kelly were fantastic. It wasn't just the first half. The second half, I think, despite the obviously the fantastic goal from Tonecki, I still think we were playing really well. We were in control of large spells of the game. You know, we hit the crossbar from a free kick. We as well, Robbie Dees should score from a free header, you know, and that puts the game probably beyond Celtic. But yeah, it's given me confidence going into the rest of the season. I think we've got something about us now. The worry is that it looked like Tyrese John-Jules might have given himself an injury again. He's had bad injury problems. That would be a huge, huge blow. But we actually look dangerous now going forward. If we could shut the door to the back, I think we'd have a right good chance. But it's going to be we've at least given ourselves a chance.
I mentioned that earlier, Gordon, in the context of, and not everything's not about the title race. You know, Simon and Kelly are fighting their own fight, but I think they are one of the teams that we mentioned in the sense that things have changed. They look much better than they were, and you can see that about a number of teams, which makes you think there could be more twists and turns at the top. But in isolation for Kilmarnock, that old cliche, can they take positives, although it was a defeat, that you then try and take into the games round about you?
Yeah, you can't take, because the performances have been really good, even when you look at when they went down to 10 men against Rangers at Ibrox so early. First half, I thought they held their own and probably should have went in level. I think it was Bruce Anderson, missed a great chance for Kilmarnock. I watched the game. The only thing I will say, I agree with Simon, I think the lad John Jules looks the real deal. He's scoring goals, he was unlucky with his free kick. Big worry that he obviously went off with an injury. That'd be a big, big blow to Kilmarnock. it's at the back for me. I was watching half time, seeing that Martin O'Neill made the three substitutions, and you're always thinking, and I'm sure Kamarnock and Simon would be the same, thinking, if Celtic get a quick goal here, then we could be under a bit of pressure. And obviously Celtic went on to win the game. But I like the way that Neil McCann and Dodgies went about their business down there. I don't think they were first choice picks as managers and assistant managers, but you've got to give them an opportunity. They sit 3 points behind a struggling St Mirren, 4 points behind Dundee. It's going to be really close, but they've gave themselves a good opportunity because they are, they're better organised and they look a better footballing side now for me.
Simon, I seem to remember you being quite critical of Neil McCann's appointment on this show. Were you wrong about him? Have you gone that far yet?
It's way too soon to say. I know we're in the knee-jerk capital of the world. Where
this is relaxed. This is a long time for us.
Yeah, it was. I still would have went for a different appointment. But I think the positive is, I think having Billy Dodds there is, you've got a guy who took Inverness to a Scottish Cup final not so long ago, and you've got sort of two brains rather than one. I think they're, Neil McCann's the spokesman, but it's kind of a joint effort between the two of them. I think that's obviously given you more of a chance. I agree with what Gordon was saying there. Defensively, it's still a worry. I think Robbie Dees needs to come out the team. He's making too many mistakes. He's doing it every week. I think the boy Ethan Shilty Brown, Canadian guy, he's still really young. He's just signed a new long-term deal. He looks the real deal. He looks a fantastic prospect. I think we probably should have brought in, a serious sort of grizzled defender. Easier said than done to go out and get them. But yeah, if we can finish in 10th place this season, maybe even keep Tyrese Jones-Jones long-term, then yeah, going into next season, I'd be a bit more confident. But we've got a decent run of games coming up. We've played Rangers and Celtic. The amount of times we'll play them for the rest of the season. Our most difficult game coming up will be Hearts at home, but we've shown at home we can actually score goals now, so more confident going into that. It's going to be really, really tough. It's going to be tight, but as I said when I last spoke to you, St Mirren haven't beaten us this season in the league, and that continued last week.
Would you be worried, Simon, with this sort of confidence or relative optimism, would that be dented if Jones-Jones' injury was serious?
It'd be dented slightly, yeah, but I think Joe Hugo as well, you were at the game, Gordon, I think you don't expect him to be as quick as he is. He's at least maybe 6'2". He's got a decent bit of pace about him. I think if we can get him, I think we maybe need to solidify the midfield rather than play two up front. I don't think Bruce Anderson is going to cut it, and the rest of the strikers seem to be off the thing. So I think if we can get the midfield going a bit more, have your sort of more solidified in there with Brad Lyons and maybe Watson and Polworth, or Watson and Thompson, and get a bit more solidity in there, then you've got your pace and Curtis out wide, and the big boy Hugo up front with a good bit of pace. I think we'd still have a decent chance, but the games are more winnable now, and it's going to be interesting to see if we can do anything.
Killian, it doesn't always work that way, that because you put in a really good show against one of the big sides that you can then translate that into games against the teams round about you. However, Kelly did show signs prior to that, didn't they? They scored the three goals against St Mirren before that. That was four, sorry, was that four? Simon will correct
four,
me.
Yeah.
And then three, the Aberdeen game as well. So they were scoring, things were heading in the right direction before that. So I think they come out of the weekend kind of unscathed in that regard, that they can still almost feel like they've got a bit of momentum despite losing, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, I think they'll know, like, they've been getting plaudits from everyone over the last few weeks, and I think in the difference in the style of play since Neil McCann and Billy Dodds have come in, I think they look like a different team to the team for the first half of the season. There's probably they have to be careful not to kind of get into a sense of feeling sorry for themselves. I think you could kind of hear it, that Neil McCann wasn't letting that happen after the game, when you could hear through some of the interviews. But
as the person who was doing the interviews, let me tell you, it didn't sound a harmonious dressing room from where I was standing, but I was just trying to concentrate on
it. No, I think it's part of it is a good thing. You can come in from a game like that and he can come in and be like, oh, unlucky guys, you deserved more from it. But I think he knows the stage of the season, where they are on the table, that they can't really afford to just come in after games like that and feel sorry for themselves. If they want to realistically go and beat teams like Celtic, Hearts and Rangers at home.
So he was angry that they didn't see the game out ultimately and made some lapses right towards
them. See the positive just quickly for Simon, and I do believe that Kilmarnock can climb the table, Gordon, right? But even if they finished 11th, I think they're still in a real good place now to take on the team for the championship. Yeah. See, about 3 months ago, I would have probably fancied the team from the championship to beat them.
Well, listen, thanks to Simon. And if you think you out there are having an exciting Tuesday night, I'm currently watching highlights of a Killian Sheridan hat-trick at Tynecastle in 2012 because Simon brought it up. I didn't know it was a thing and I thought I would look it up. Well, I'm about to get to the third goal.
So. Is that a perfect hat-trick?
No.
Right, left and head?
No. Tell you what, goalie's helped him with the second one. My goodness. We'll take more of your calls when we return.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
We're nearly working our way through this second hour, just about the halfway point of it. So please get in touch with all your thoughts to Killian Sheridan and to Gordon Diello. 0141 951 1025. Let's see what else we've got coming in on these phones at the moment.
What about teaser?
Yeah, I'll give you a teaser. Yeah, I forgot about that.
The full time teaser with Arcaplan Glasgow. Planning permission and building warrants drawings for home extension, conversion or renovation.
I don't really know how to come clean about this. I looked at the clock there, right, and I think I forgot how to tell the time for a minute.
Did you think we're in the final part?
I don't know, I was just looking at it and like nothing was registering in my head.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say in the final part. I'd have been delighted.
Must be getting old and distracted. Anyway, thank you to Giancarlo and Kelvin Side for sending this in, and thanks to our new sponsors Arcaplan Glasgow for helping us out as well. It's all fitting together. Giancarlo with a name like that, and he says, in honour of Italian football returning to Scottish TV. You seen this?
No.
An unlikely highlights package or a football broadcasting deal has been struck between BBC Alapa and
Italian football, Serie A.
Anyway,
the company I used to work for.
Can you name the last 8 Scottish players to have scored in Serie A? So quite a straightforward question. Can you name the last 8 Scottish players to have scored in Serie A?
Has Gilmore scored?
He has.
McTominay?
Just once. Right, yes.
Ferguson?
All right, we're going to leave it there. Any for Killian?
Oh, he can get the hard ones.
Shea Adams?
Yes, right. Let's leave it there because actually you've got 4 already. So it's a nice place to stop. 4 down, 4 to go. And we'll try and get them before the end. At Clyde1.com. That's the email address if you want to get in touch. Fulltime@Clyde1.com to submit your questions, just like Giancarlo did tonight. And finally, Italy, one of the only countries Killian didn't play in. So it's nice that we've got that in there as well. Keep the calls coming. Maybe you want to start looking forward. It's quite tempting to just keep looking back though, isn't it, given how impressive a weekend it was, and European football about to come back onto the radar of the Celtic fans as well. So be interesting to see how they balance that up. Let's hear from the man of the moment whilst we wait on your calls coming in. Julian Araujo scored the goal, jumped into the stand. I thought he was never going to come back out at one point, but he did eventually, and here's what he had to say about the celebrations.
I wouldn't realise what Celtic was and how big Celtic was until I was here, and now I know what it means to them and what it is. So I'm excited to be a part of their journey, and I'll keep doing my best to give them what they deserve. We have to continue this way. You know, we can't have a performance like the first half, but the second half we came out very strong. We had a, you know, we knew as soon as we got the first goal that things could change. So we maintained with our principles. We stayed humble. We believed in ourselves, and ultimately we got the 3 points. Playing for Celtic is nuts. You can see why. You can see, you know, the pitch was filled with fans, and I've never seen that in my life. You know, I never had a moment like that where I was involved, you know, where I scored a goal, and it's a moment that I'll never forget for the rest of my life. It's a moment that I'll carry with me and that I'll be grateful for.
You do wonder about players who, you know, maybe come from the MLS, you had a spell in La Liga, and it was obviously an established footballing nation, but maybe didn't quite work out for him, goes to Bournemouth, doesn't play a lot. see when you come and see that level of madness, that must be, it must be a real eye opener. You can almost hear the sort of surprise in his voice about just how big a moment it was.
The fact he said that it wasn't until he scored that goal and was amongst the celebrations and saw everything going mad, where he was like, then he realised how big it was, how big it is to play for Celtic, and moments like that. I think it highlights how hard or how difficult it is for players coming in from different leagues, different countries, different cultures. I think it was it Pulvara or one of the Aberdeen players who just went back to America? Pulvara, yep. And I heard him talking about the difficulties or the difference in the league. Never mind playing for Celtic or Rangers.
Yeah, I heard that.
The fact of actually trying...
Was it the physicality and stuff he spoke about? Yeah.
Yeah, that he really underestimated it all.
Yeah, you could almost... watching his facial expressions was just bizarre, Gordon. It's like he jumped in, thought it was a good idea, and then he kind of realised that he was in it. And you take the booking at that point. Mm-hmm. He was just... You can almost sense that he was a bit overwhelmed by it all.
Oh, of course he would. And it was all about the occasion. You know, you're 2-0 down. You probably had a real roasting off your manager at half time. You get to, 96th, 97th minute, and the ball just drops at you in front of the Celtic fans to score your first goal, Gordon. Fantastic for a lad, yes. Okay, I think he ended up in row A. He went up that many stairs, but... It showed you how much it meant to him, the supporters and everything. And you're right, it's not until you score that goal and see the fans that how big clubs these clubs are really are.
You know, like to pick you up on everything. Why'd you go for A there? Would that not be the first row?
No, because I actually thought about that.
I can't believe you didn't pick a higher letter.
No, actually.
Very underwhelming.
I thought I misheard it.
Hold on. He did end up in row E, didn't he?
It's a bit underwhelming to go in the front row, though.
Well, I was correct. He did end up in
row
E
to get up to row E.
Yeah, he was in row E.
Oh, my word. Anyway, let's not worry about that too much. I'm being a pedant. Scott is in Cambus Lang. Scott, how are you?
I'm all right, Gordon. I'm in via Mozambique, via Cambus Lang, mate.
I know. Listen, there's nothing wrong with Cambus Lang. Don't let these people make you feel like you need to...
It's Baltic, Gordon, honestly. Anyway, Aurora, right? Aurora, or whatever his name is. Obviously, he's playing well. No doubt about the goal against Kilmarnock, right? He's been playing well since he's come in. What happens when Alistair Johnson gets fit, right? Does he come in straight? Because... Me personally, I would leave him there, right? And you know, as I said to you, you know, it's not just because he's got against Kilmarnock, but since he's come in, he's been playing really well. I know he's only in loan, not to buy, but come on, you would need to buy somebody like that. Would you know? You would need to pull the plug out and buy him.
I think March was the last we heard for Alistair Johnson. Now, whether that's the beginning of March, the end of March, whether he's, you know, he's then unlikely to go straight, you know, week one straight back into the team anyway, fitness wise. It feels like Scott's suggesting that it's a bit of a problem. Is it? It'd just be a nice problem.
No, it's a great problem.
Not?
Because clubs like Celtic, with the amount of games you've got to have two real quality players for each position. You look at the left back situation as well, Saracchi and Tierney. I think Saracchi looks the real deal for me, and Tierney's a top player for Celtic. So I think that Martin O'Neill just now would love to have Alistair Johnson back, because he is a big, big player for him. Celtic fans have been on here for months and months now, and they talk about the three big hitters that are missing that's caused a bit of problems. You know, Carter Vickers, Jota, and Johnson, he comes into that category. Yes, that'd be great for Celtic. Competition, brilliant for the team.
I just don't think... I think it's Araujo's position to lose at the minute. I don't think... And given what Alistair Johnson, what happened to him previously, I think he rushed back from his injury. Yeah. I don't think they'll do that this time.
So it means you don't... The sort of temptation to do that is lessened because you've got someone in there.
They know that they can count on him, they can trust him. If he continues playing like he is, it's not something they're going to need to rush Alistair Johnson back for. And also, they know Alistair Johnson's 100% going to be there next season is Araujo. I don't know. And also, it's not like they're buying him from some small European or American team. They'd probably have to pay quite a chunky fee for him, I would say.
Yeah, is that the worry, Scott? You go and take someone from the English Premier League, whether he's getting a game or not? I mean, his wages, I don't know what his wage situation is, but it won't be cheap, and then you have to get a fee. Is he done enough already that makes you think he he becomes a priority for the long-term future?
Well, Gordon, obviously every player goes to first-team football, like they want to play football, right? You know, I know you're talking about the wages and whatever else, but if he's playing on a regular basis, look at his reaction yesterday. He obviously is enjoying being here, you know, so would it be beneficial for him to sign? And if he is getting first-team football, and I totally agree with Gordon says, you know, two for every position, totally agree with that, but I think every player would want to be in a team that he knows is 50-50 that he's going to have full, you know what I mean, instead of money.
And by the way, I know they're not in the team at the moment, they're partly being kept out of the team by Julian Araujo, but do have Colby Donovan and Anthony Ralston, so that'd be four, right? You know, you've got that's too many.
Yeah, you would need to probably offload one of them in the summer, whether it's put them out on loan or
this guy goes back though, and then
then you've got the luxury of having three decent right backs there. But I think Celtic, the way the guy's performing, I think Celtic will look at that situation. Listen, I know what Scott's saying about you'd rather play than the money, but me personally, I'd rather have the money in play.
It's also easy to come out and say that after scoring a last minute winner.
Yeah.
All you're thinking about is, my God, this is the best place ever. I want to be here, until perhaps it comes to contract negotiations in the summer. And then he realizes, oh, hold on a minute, maybe it's not quite.
There's a zero missing.
It's like everything, isn't it? See, even if he keeps up a good level of individual performance, see if the rest of the season doesn't go well and Celtic finish third, Celtic fans aren't going to be interested in trying to replicate any of this for next season. They'll just say,
rip it up and start again.
Rip it all up.
I think the problem is it's...
There's also a new manager going to come in, presumably. Yeah,
the problems are, although it's not really a problem, but they have this issue of having two very good players in the same position in the fullback areas. I think Celtic fans would rather to have that problem in wingers and strikers. Mm-hmm. Where at the minute, it's a little bit of mix and match, kind of give this guy a chance 1 week, give him a game, see how he does. If he doesn't quite perform, it's another person's go. And they're really only getting, at the minute, they're only getting a half really to try and showcase what they can do. I think that would be a bigger worry than having two equally good fullbacks.
Any other players in the team that are jumping out, good or bad, at the moment, Scott?
God, when you remember when Hugh was on, I had a conversation with you about Hatate, right? I just don't think he wants to be there, Gordon, right? It just seems to me like he's no interested, you know, and especially like 11, 12 games to go, 13 games to go, you're wanting people in there that are wanting to fight for the cause and wanting to fight, you know, to get over the line. And, you know, it's just no one game. It's been a series of games. As I say, I spoke to you a couple of weeks ago. So it's not been a new thing for Hatate. It just seems to be he doesn't want to be there, Gordon, right? And it's very evident when you go and see Celtic week in, week out. It's very evident.
I'm tend to agree with that. I don't think he's alone. I think Maeda as well this season. I know that he had a fantastic season last year and won all the awards, and rightly so, banging in goals for fun as well. The two lads, for me, they're top players, but they've been right off it. And I think that if Martinelli had everybody fit, I don't think Hatate, who is a real talent, would be in the starting 11 for
me. Here's the problem, though. Maybe a bit early to get fully involved in a debate about the starting 11 on Thursday. Arne Engels is injured, and Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain's not in the European squad. So does Rio Hatate play again in amongst all this? Or does Paolo Bernardo or someone come back from nowhere? Do you turn back to Luke McCowan? Does Rio Hatate stay in the team is the kind of main question.
Probably by default.
I think he still does.
Yeah, and I think there's always that hope of, if he has a good game, you know how good a game he can have and how much impact he can have on a game. He can do things out of nowhere. But on the flip side, he's just not doing that at the minute. I think you could really notice the difference at the weekend. When, am I right, did he got taken off?
Yeah, half time.
You could really see the difference. Oxlade-Chamberlain, I liked when he came on. You can see he's trying to do different things. There's that probably match sharpness where he's just maybe missing a beat, not looking, checking over his shoulder on guys coming, which is just maybe like a fraction off. but he's trying different things. You can see he has something there.
To get to now really get ahead of ourselves, taking this full week into account, do you think he starts Celtic's next league game? Because he can't play in Europe, he's not in the squad, so it's almost like he can now rest up in that time. He's had a half against Kilmarnock, he came on and got the winner against Livingston. Some of the others are going to have to go to the well midweek. Is that now all set up for him to actually come in and start league games?
Yeah, I don't see why not. I think he'd probably prefer it as well. I think once you, when you haven't played for a while and you're getting gradually brought back into it, so only the next progression from starting, from playing a full half is start from the beginning of the game, and then you go up until maybe I don't think it will happen. If he was to blow up at half time, then fair enough, you've got a good first half out of him when the intensity and pace mm-hmm. of the game is at its highest. But I think he's a it wouldn't be that big of a gamble, I don't think, to throw him in.
Okay, thank you very much to Scott in Cambuslang. Just Cambuslang, no international mm-hmm. story attached to that one this evening. Unlike some of the other callers, how are you doing on this teaser? You made a very fast start. It's in honour of Italian football returning to Scottish TV. Can you name the last 8 Scots to score in Serie A? You've got Scott McTominay, who does it all the time. Shea Adams, who's done it this month. Lewis Ferguson, I think he maybe scored last month. And you're going back to last year, September, for Billy Gilmore.
Come on, we've both agreed.
Doig did it, yes. He's still playing there, of course, but it's been a couple of years since he scored, a few years, but yep.
I don't even know if he played in the cup. Did Hickey play in Italy?
Yes, for Bologna.
Did he score?
He did. And we'll get the rest of the answers when we return.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
They're on the home straight, Gordon DL and Killian Sheridan. Still time though for you to get your calls in if you fancy it, so please let's hear from you. And we'll quickly revisit Giancarlo and Kelvin Side's question that he sent in. Thanks to our new sponsor Arcaplan Glasgow as well for helping us out with the teaser. We're looking for the last 8 Scots to score in Serie A. So you've got Scott McTominay, Shea Adams, Lewis Ferguson, Billy Gilmore, Josh Doig, Aaron Hickey.
Right, I'm going to throw in a rant. Jack Henry
played for Cremonese.
Yeah, he went loan.
Didn't score. Four appearances, zero goals. That was one of your favourite interviews we had on here, wasn't it?
Oh, he was brilliant. He was, honestly, I thought I was listening to Franz Beckenbauer.
I remember that night. So he played against Messi, Neymar and Mbappe, would it have been? PSG.
Yeah.
Right, in the Champions League for Bruges. So that was the front three.
Yes, yeah.
I think they kept a clean sheet or something. They did well.
Yeah.
So we had them on the next night, but we could not get them to break from traditional footballer mode.
Okay.
Because we were like, oh, what was it like playing against those guys? But he would not entertain it. He just kept saying things like, no, you know, it's just 11 against 11. You know, like, we believe we belong at that level. And I'm going, fair enough, I admire the mental fortitude, but I kept trying and I'm going, tell me you did some analysis that said Messi weaknesses. No, I'm trying to fanboy. He would not go there. Did he not also say that hopefully the performance would have people back here put some respect on his name?
Yeah,
or something like that.
It was brilliant. Lovely.
Not worse than Ian Castro's during the week.
That's right. Didn't care about Hearts, does he? He said.
Yeah. If someone was to get him back here, it would cost him a lot of money.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, listen, if you're not going to back yourself, who will? Put some respect on the name. That's what you've got to remember, right? No, he wasn't one of the answers to the teaser.
How far back are we going? Dennis Law.
Not as far back as Dennis Law.
Joe Jordan.
Not quite as far back.
Ooh,
like Hatley. Someone like that.
Nope. He's not Scottish.
He's English.
You know what I meant.
Yeah.
Someone of that ilk.
Scottish Hatley.
Yeah, there's one of that era.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
There's one.
I was saying that to try and get you going.
Yeah, there's one of that.
So kind of slightly after Joe Jordan, but only just after Joe Jordan, probably a fraction before Mark Healy, that sort of.
Did he play
Soon as. Well,
that's who I meant to
that's
say.
Who you meant.
Pulled out the bag for Sampdoria against Udinese in 86. Right, you've only got one to get, so I'm sure we'll get it. Let me just check, make sure we don't have any early goals in the Scottish Cup. I assume we do not. None of you fancied a shock at all, did you, Dundee United Spartans?
No, it should be a comfortable one, especially at home. After a a real good victory against Falkirk at the weekend. I know it was helped by Falkirk going down to 10 men, but you still got to take advantage. And Dundee United got the valuable 3 points, so they should be... I don't think it'll be easy, but if they get an early goal, then I think they can relax and go on and win it comfortably.
It's hard to give like a real sincere or sort of original analysis, Killian, because the gap should be too big. Most people think it's too big, and you just always caveat it by saying shocks can happen. I don't really know what more to sort of add.
Hasn't really been a massive shock this year, even in the cup, has there? I think Spartans will come. They'll be confident. They're flying high in League Two.
Top.
I'm sure they'll be well structured, and they'll try and stay in the game for as long as they can, turn the crowd, all that kind of stuff. But I think if Dundee United weren't to get through, it'd be a massive problem for them.
One of the biggest sort of intrigues around this is the fact that the game's on, and it's on at Tannadice. Apparently, it's covered in sand and not looking particularly good. I'm a bit worried about that over the kind of course.
There's still a lot of games to be played.
Not just Dundee United, though. We're talking about Motherwell finally getting one on at Pittodrie. Even Motherwell's pitch, which used to be great, is now not where it was. And it could be a few others. It could be a difficult couple of months.
The good thing is, it's looking like they'll be in the bottom six for it. And not
who?
Like have that
Dundee United.
Yeah, and like not have that pitch kind
decide
of
decide the title. Yeah,
but you're right, Gordon. Motherwell's pitch is like a bowling green most times. And watching it there on Wednesday, I think it played okay,
if that makes sense. I don't think it's like horrifically bobbly or anything.
All pitches are the same, really.
Spartans manager Dougie Samuel, of course, trying to mastermind a shock. Did you see the stat about him last week? I liked that one. 5,000 days in charge.
5,000 days?
Yeah, at Spartans. Wow. That's an unbelievable
many years. 360.
So, well over 10, obviously.
Yeah. Mm. 12 years.
Yeah.
Is he?
Oh, yeah.
12 years in charge.
Well, must be around that.
Incredible.
Yeah, it really is.
I'm glad that
days.
Wasn't in Beat the Pundit, because I didn't even know he was a manager.
Get the calculator out. Anyway, we're about 10 minutes or so gone, and it is indeed still goalless there. So, yellow card to Amar Fata. That was the last thing of note that really happened. No goals to tell you about in the early stages. Just a very quick look forward to the rest of the week. Something I hope we'll kind of build on tomorrow, so you two can kick us off. Thursday night, is that an unwanted distraction for Celtic now with the title race, or do you just have to embrace European football when you've got it?
Well, Celtic are a football club that want to be in Europe. They've got an opportunity, obviously, a home game on Thursday night. There'll be a massive crowd there under a light. So that's what they're built on. They make money from it as well. I know because of the title race now, people think, oh, I'd rather be out of Europe so we can concentrate the weekend, because you never know what sort of injuries or anything that you're going to pick up to important players. But if you're a club the size of Celtic and Rangers, you want to be in Europe, no doubt about it.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's where the clubs want to be every year. It's the thing they're always talking about. Fans are always saying that's where they want to make the difference. Obviously, Celtic would have preferred to be doing that and should have been doing it in the Champions League this year. And I think it's a chance for them to create a little bit of momentum for them as well. It's another game where they can it could kickstart things for them performance-wise. No, they're grinding out the results at the minute, but they need to pick up the performances.
Nearly out of time, let's try and finish the teaser. The last 8 Scotsmen to score in Serie A: Scott McTominay, Shea Adams, Lewis Ferguson, Billy Gilmore, Josh Doig, Aaron Hickey and Graham Souness.
How far back?
Not that far back, only a couple of years. He's part of the modern batch of Scotsmen who've gone over and invaded. In fact, he might have been the first of this batch. He might have been the trailblazer for the modern era.
No.
And he's played for a few clubs over there.
And did they come from a Scottish club?
Yeah.
Did he come from Hearts?
No. So I think his goal was for Empoli. He's played for, I think, Sampdoria as well. He's played for one of the Verona sides.
Cool.
Liam Henderson,
well done.
Brilliant, mate.
Congratulations. Thank you very much to Killian Sheridan and to Gordon Dalziel. But thank you for all your calls, whether they came from Cambuslang or Lagos or Luxembourg. We had a lot going on tonight, but it was great to talk football with you all. And we are back tomorrow. We'll hear from Martin and Neil. Match day -1, as they call it, ahead of Celtic's game against Stuttgart. So make sure you join us tomorrow at 6 and enjoy the rest of your evening.